All right, I'm here with Ryan Walter at the West Coast Hockey Prep Camp. 1,000 games played in the NHL, Stanley Cup with the Montreal Canadiens, 21-year-old captain with the Washington Capitals, and a master's in leadership. Ryan, you are more than qualified to join us on this podcast, and we love having you back year after year, and I've learned so much from you. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. Love being here.
Awesome. You've dedicated your life to leading people. How does leadership on the ice compare to leadership in the classroom or the boardroom?
Wow. I'm not sure there's any difference, Nate, in that they're, you know, it's about people. So it's really, I think the key thing about leadership on the ice is that it happens quickly. It's one of these things where, you know, I think sports magnifies everything. So if leadership is not maybe doing what it should be doing, you see it quicker. But other than that, you know, I think the games are exactly the same, whether you play on ice or you play in the corporate boardroom or you're in a, you know, a government position or you're a mom at, with kids at home. I think the cool thing about leadership is that when leadership is absent, you notice it as much as when leadership is present.
When leadership is absent, you notice it just as much as when it's present. I like that. You work with all types of teams, athletes, individuals. What's a common characteristic that the engaged audience have, the people that are buying in?
Well, for me, it's, you know, you read body language when you're, obviously I do this for a living. So when I'm looking out at a crowd, you know, if I could have 150 people, I could have, you know, two people. I'm reading body language. I'm seeing where they're at. And I think the key to engagement is that we're not asking people to do things they don't want to do. Like I'm making sure that, you know, before we get together as a group, that I know exactly who I've got in the room and that, you know, we're adding value to who they are. I think the other thing that's very cool is that with some of the stuff that we do with coaches or with players or corporate, I don't presume that I know everything. Like, I'm not coming and saying, hey, Nate, listen up, you know, I'm the best in leadership, you have to hire me. We come in and we say, okay, how can we work with you to grow your, you know, each other and to grow the capacity of the leadership group that you have? So it's really a much more, you know, we're in this together, let's develop this together, you know, let's get everybody to the next level, and that includes me.
You learn as you go with your groups. And how long have you been focused on leadership as your core business?
Well, on and off for probably 25 years. I mean, I got pushed out front, you know, after hockey to sort of do corporate stuff and to do stuff for charities and that. And so it's been a long time. I went back to school and did the master's at 45 years old, and I'm 57 now. So that's really, I think that was the push to really understand leadership, to try to get a better feel for it. I'm a kid. I mean, I'm like Sidney Crosby, or I shouldn't say that. Let's stop there. Sidney's on his own. I'm not like him. But from a young captain point of view, I was a young captain in the NHL, and all I wanted was a mentor. I wanted somebody to come alongside me and say, listen, you know, I don't have it completely figured out, but let's have discussions around this player and how are you dealing with that player? And, you know, how do I deal with the coach? And like, just to have a sounding board. And I think that, you know, NHL captains need that. And I think that executives need that too. I think that's the beauty, you know, executives, corporate, they have, it seems like they have the budget to do this. They see that it's important. Hockey tends to, you know, some in hockey are figuring this out, but a lot of people in hockey, you know, they'll spend on players, but they won't spend on that extra that helps the player be better. And I'm chuckling a bit because, you know, some of those NHL, young NHL captains, you know, Taves figures it out early, but what if he doesn't? Yeah. Like, if he doesn't, that team isn't what it is today.
Yeah. You're an avid reader now. Were you, as a young captain, were you always interested, or did the leadership at that point come naturally? As all of us mature as we go along, we probably become more avid readers. But
yeah, I am. I love reading a lot now, unlike you, but I did like it back then. And I'm not sure that I focused in on leadership as much. It was more on performance and health and, you know, trying to be the best hockey player I could be. Yeah. But I remember I had the first Apple portable computer, in the early 80s. Can you believe that? And it was a luggable. There was nothing portable about it. And I used to take it on the road. The guys laughed at me. You know, they'd be playing cards in the back, and I'd been trying to figure this computer out. Because I knew it was important that knowledge, instant knowledge, was going to be important in the future. So I think I've always had a deep desire to learn. I absolutely adore reading books on leadership right now. And the big area now is the mind. And, you know, I'm doing some performance coaching with young players, and coaches and agents are having me come in and do that. And the key is the mind. Like, so this is the area. I think having leaders understand the mindset of their people is my passion right now.
If I'm not mistaken, and you don't have to name the names of your clients, but I believe you are working with some players that we would know, their kind of household names. And at that level, can you give us some insight into what those players are looking at right now in terms of why they're doing it and sort of what it took for them to buy in?
Yeah, you know, it is an interesting thing. I mean, there has to be a fit, right? Like I have to make sure that not only am I a fit for the client, but that the client's a fit for us and that it works well. I think the idea is that, you know, I just want to be a mentor. I want to be a guy that comes alongside a young leader or an executive at any level and say, listen, how can we help you perform at the highest level? How can we help your team through you perform at the highest level? And, you know, it's interesting, Nate, some of the newest literature out, you know, gives us some core stuff that we can work on. A quick example, Posner and Kouzes have got the great study out now where they look at the four characteristics that people want in leaders. And so the cool thing is that's across the board. That's, you know, from an NHL captain to a CEO of a company. And the four are pretty simple, but if they're not in place, it just doesn't work. Number, it won't surprise you, the fourth is competent, the third is inspiring, you know, the second is forward-looking, and the first is honesty.
Can you repeat those for our listeners?
Sure. The first is, let's go backwards, frontwards. First is honesty. Like, that's a, you know, everybody goes, yeah, that's, I take that for granted, but that's, isn't it true? If we're not an honest leader, it doesn't work. So the second is forward-looking. People want to know that we've got a feel for the future, that, you know, that we're driving people to what many call a better future. Leadership is inspiring people to a better future. The third is inspiring, and that's the big one. Like, how do you... We all know how to motivate people. Just blink and do it. But how do you inspire people, right? How do you get people in a place where they can't wait to come to the rink?
Motivation being forcing or imposing, but inspiring being so that they feel like they own it, that it's a self-motivated
totally.
Initiative. Yeah.
We motivate ourselves, but our coaches inspire us. And then the fourth is competence. You know, at the end of the day, people have to know that our leadership is competent. So there's four foundational simple pieces that people who would willingly follow their leader, want in their leader. And I think so, to have conversations around, you know, my goal is to bring things for us to discuss. So to have conversations around that, you know, and just have a conversation with a young captain or an executive and say, okay, so how do you inspire your team? Like, have you ever asked them that question? Have you ever taken a guy to dinner and say, you know, okay, so I'm doing some things. Does this come across right? Yeah. So it is a cool discussion. I think the key is it's a conversation. And it's not me preaching.
Yeah, yeah. It seems to me that, yeah, the common thread through the various things that you do is about connecting with the person. And you just said it there, that it's not you speaking at them or preaching at them. It's that helping people find their own path and their own motivations and inspiration. Let's move now. Maybe we'll kind of finish with this. We talked at breakfast about a new model that you've been working on and something that you're really excited about. And I love every time I see you. You've got something that you're really really excited to share with me, which is why I'm grateful to be speaking to you right now and sharing this with our listeners. But can you mention? We talked about being above the line, below the line. And try and give our listeners a visual of that little image that sure. you laid out for us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for that, Nate. You know, I get excited about this because this is probably 10 months old. This will be our next book. We'll probably call it Mind Shift, but could have some other title. But the key is the Thinking Tendencies model. So we actually built a model. I don't know. I was driving down the highway and Jenny fell asleep in the front seat and I didn't want to turn the music up to wake her up, so I had way too much time to think. And this hit me. We've been looking for a model to try to help people understand their thinking. Because I think what we're all sort of tiring of is, you know, to say to a young kid, well, get a better attitude. Well, we all intuitively, we all know what that means, but unless you can sort of break it down, you can't teach it. It's like the game of hockey.
Yeah.
Unless you can break it down and work on a wrist shot, you can't, you know, you just say to people, we'll score more. So one of the areas that I wanted to really help corporations and hockey teams with is how do you identify the mindset of your team? So how could we get it to a place where it would actually, you know, people could say, okay, I got it. Now I know how to shift my thinking. And so we built what's called the Thinking Tendencies model very quickly. Positive thoughts, negative thoughts, past thoughts, future thoughts, pretty simple. But in the bottom left of that little quadrant, positive, negative, negative on the bottom, past, and then future, future on the right. If you put it right where the past negative is, we call that, actually, we put a big circle and we call it past negative thinking. Past negative is an interesting place. People have regrets. And regrets drive life. Oh my goodness! And if we can't identify that, how can we shift out of it? How can we get, you know, awareness is so key.
People get stuck in what's gone wrong.
Totally. And we look back at, you know, think about this, Nate. How many times have we heard players say, "I could have played in the NHL if I only did this"?
Yeah. I joke I had a bad agent and my hands are too small, but.
Then you look across at what we call future negative thinking. Future negative thinking, at the end of the day, future negative thinking is fascinating, but it's fear.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can identify that people get stuck in future negative thinking, we can help them out of it. But if they never see what type of thinking they're stuck in, how can we help them?
Those are two bad ones if they're negative of their past and scared and fearful and negative of their future. They're stuck.
Stuck, totally stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And you and I have a lot of kids right here at camp where we know that they could be great players, but that their belief system, their mindset is holding them back.
Expand on that. You talked about belief system, and you gave a really dark example, but I think it's a good one in today's world about sort of worst case scenario or the power of belief system.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what you and I know, and all of our listeners know, is that, you know, many of the young kids in North America are getting radicalized online by ISIS. So think of that concept. You know, they're just normal little Johnny, Jimmy, Susie, whatever. And then at the end of the day, they get radicalized, you know, by something that they see or they learn. And all of a sudden, their actions are doing exactly what they believe. So if they believe that they're radicalized and that they're, you know, being, you know, doing something for the greater good of ISIS, then they take actions like blowing up people. I mean, oh my goodness, think about that concept. So all action comes out of belief system. And this is why mindset and belief system are so key. And we work, and this is what I get excited about, we work with young players. I do 25-minute phone calls every week for 32 weeks during the season. And we just work refocusing the belief system and the mindset of players so that they have a chance to not worry about what the coach is thinking, but focus in on the things they can control. Ooh, what a difference. We had two kids last year that had spectacular years. I don't take any credit. I give them the credit because they adopted the process. So what we did is, just to back to past negative, future negative, we draw a line. We say that's below the line thinking.
Yeah.
Now, the cool thing about it is there's a 5-to-1 ratio of above the line, below the line that is science. Loseda says it takes 5 positive interactions to every 1 negative interaction just to hold the culture we've got or just to hold the performance we've got. So the point is, it's the 80-20 rule. 20% of the time we go below the line to get better. But here's the key word we're finding. The greatest leaders in my life go below the line intentionally. They don't ruminate there. And with this model now, Nate, you're going to laugh at me, but I'm catching myself. I now am not allowed to be grumpy.
Right. It's a choice.
Because now that's a choice. So let's move. We'll just go above the line. Positive, we call it a past positive thinking, which is brilliant, right? You're looking at things that have worked. Mm-hmm. You're looking at our family. You're looking at, you've got all these positive feelings about things that we've done well. And then over on the far top right is future positive thinking. And that drives everything. And the problem when teams and companies and marriages and families go wrong, we haven't spent enough, we haven't chosen to spend enough time in what I call future positive and then the zone. The zone is the fifth, that's right in the middle. So that's, you know, that's when you and I are best. That's where we're present. You know, it's intrinsic motivation. It's driven from inside. We can't wait to do it. And so future positive is really focused on two things. I like two. Number one, what you want. Number two, how to get it, and that's it. Everything else is a distraction.
Sounds like you should repeat that for us.
Number one, you're focused on what you want. Number two, you're focused on how to get it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And what we find is there's so many distractions. You know, the new stats on iPhones, I have one too, you know, are that, you know, email distracts us at times. 12, I think I just read 12 times an hour. Just going to our email, beep, we go there, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So our point about the model is that we have above-the-line thinking, we have below-the-line thinking, and what we've done is we've allowed people to get an awareness. There's the key word. Deeper awareness, you create new language. So what I do with these performance coaching kids I have, players I have, is I check in every week and say, okay, so how's your mindset, man?
It's got to be that regular checking in that really has the impact, eh? Because I will be inspired and I will learn a lot from you, but if we don't talk until this time next year,
yeah,
then it's lost, right? You slip back into, it's a lot about habits. We were talking about that at breakfast today too, so that program you've got where you're touching base with these guys or women weekly,
yeah,
and 25 minutes probably flies by.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
So it's that regular contact to create the change.
I think you've nailed it. I think the other thing that happens that I've learned this last year is that we are either taking ground or we're making up ground in our calls. Hmm. So I call taking ground as when, okay, everything's good. The client doesn't have a crisis that they're walking through, and we actually look at things that grow us as leaders or as players.
Mm-hmm.
When we're making up ground, we're in crisis mode.
Okay, you've got a setback.
Absolutely. And think about that. Think about how many times in our little hockey careers, you know, you have you think the coach hates you. You know, the coach has reduced your ice time. You know, you got a teammate on your case. You've got, you know, a parent that's just got cancer. You've got, I mean, you're right, like life happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So part of the cool thing that we're able to do is even through those, you know, taking ground, bringing back ground almost, is we're able to refocus the athlete on what they want. And that for me has been really fun. And it doesn't take much, right? Because it's our mindset.
Yeah. The lines, the simple above the line, below the line, and I had seen it done in a video where it was kind of, you're either thinking positively and open to change and open to learning, or you're clouded by negativity, and you've kind of taken that a step further into kind of the four quadrants and then the zone in the middle. But it seems to give that a real clear image. I'm either thinking about this in a good light or not.
Yes.
You can't really be in both at the same time, right? It's
nope.
So if you can catch yourself in those negative and just with a quick decision on the little stuff, and get used to being above the line more often, good things happen to you, don't they?
Totally. And let me solidify this with a story that actually happened to me, and it'll give our listeners a feel for, you know, the model. So I fly a lot to Calgary, so I'm in Vancouver, and I'm on an airplane, Air Canada to Calgary, and I'm on my second million mile, so Air Canada upgrades me again, and I pull out my Bose earphones. I love those because they lock out noise, and I can get some work done. I pull out my portable hard drive, and I put them on my seat beside me. I'm just going to pull out my computer. I got work to do. And the young executive next to me, we get talking. We talk all the way to Calgary. So we get off the plane. I run down the luggage. I'm just going to get my luggage. I need to pick up a rental car, run to the hotel. I got two gigs the next day. And it hits me. And I go, Ryan, you idiot. I left my Bose earphones and my portable hard drive right on the seat. Didn't even, you know, think about it. 100 other people are coming, you know, out of the plane after me. So what am I thinking, Nate? They're gone, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way someone else isn't going to grab them. So I'm beating myself up. I fill out that form for Air Canada. They've already pushed the plane back. They can't check. Halfway to the hotel, I'm going, come on, Ryan, wake up. And it hits me. You know, Ryan, you're teaching this model. Maybe you should try using it. And in that moment, Nate, I went from a future negative, they're gone, to a above the line, to a future positive, focused on four things I can control. Number one, great night's sleep. Number two, up at 5. Number three, two great gigs that next day. Number four, a great workout. That's all I can control on my next day. 4:30 the next day, Air Canada calls me and said, Mr. Walter, we've just delivered both items to your hotel. You see, for me, isn't that cool? And really the issue is, how much energy would have I lost?
Yep.
Had I just focused on stuff that was out of my control, right, yep, that I messed up on. Yep. So we do have a choice, and our word is shift. That's the word that I use, that we use. So we have a choice to shift. And I love this word shift because, you know, it's got the hockey metaphor.
Yeah.
But I can literally say to myself, shift, and now I can move with awareness. I can move above the line. So we're excited about it, Nate, and it has amazing application into hockey teams, into corporate. We're doing some four-day sessions now with corporations around their mindset. And what we do is we look at 8 ways to get above the line. So if you're a leader, you know, my wife Jenny's brilliant. She says, and this is a simple thought, but it's brilliant. The default is down.
Yeah.
When life hits hard, we go right below the line. So really the question is not how do we get below the line.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
question
we'll
is
there.
How yeah. do we get above the line? Yeah. And we spend time with leaders talking about that.
Perfect segue, Ryan. How can listeners learn more about you, follow you, join your list? I've seen some great stuff. Can you share with our listeners how they can contact you?
Yeah, thank you, Nate. I appreciate that. It's just ryanwalter.com is probably the best place. And we have a little e-newsletter that goes out weekly, or, well, it's bi-monthly now, that people can join. And then it's really just ryan@ryanwalter.com. Email is probably the best way to catch me, and either off the site or off of email. I mean, I've got a cell phone that I live on, but that's probably the best. And love working with people, and I'm finding that it's getting a little more diverse. We're doing a full-day session for 160 teachers in Merritt.
Oh, wow.
At the end of August. And I'm thinking, teachers, right? Like, what have I got to teach them? You know what we're talking about? How do teachers influence the mindset of their kids, right? Like, isn't that a cool thought? That if you're going to have kids in a room, 30 kids in a room for a full year, how do you influence the mindset, you know, above the line?
Prepare them to learn. I'll give them the opportunity to get in the right mindset. Ryan, as always, thank you very much, and want to go for lunch?
Thanks, Nate. Way we go, buddy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That's good. So what's that called, buddy? That little speaker.